So, hello everybody. I'd like to welcome you on my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And today's episode is about breaking through boundaries. And I'd like to welcome you, Melissa Vera. Thank you for being a guest on my show. And yes, please briefly introduce yourself. Where
Hi,
are
I'm Melissa.
you? Yes.
Yes, I'm Melissa. I am a mom of three young adult women, going through the trenches when they all were teenagers. Oh my gosh, that's something I would not wish on anybody, having three girls. I'm married to my husband. We're in the US. We're in North Carolina, but my husband's a native of Mexico. And so we have a lot of cultural differences and a lot of cultural, like as far as mental health and everything else goes, with the machismo with the Latino men, they really have that machismo. So you kind of have to break boundaries there. But like I said, I'm a mom of three, a fur mom to multiple people. I mean, talking not people, multiple pets. I have a 13-year-old Shih Tzu, who I absolutely adore, and I'm gonna, whenever she passes away, I'm gonna mourn so bad for her because she is like my baby. Then we have a rescue pit bull mix, and then we have
Cool.
four rescue cats that kind of just stayed around. They're the outside cats. One of them, if you go on my Instagram, you'll see he's my watch kitty. If I'm working out in the log cabin late at night, he will sit by the front door and not allow anybody in or out. He will
Whoa.
stake claim right there and say, "Mama, mama's in there. Nobody's coming in or out."
Okay. Oh, that's great. So wonderful. You are, as you told, you are a mother of three kids and have been through many challenges. And yes, one of them has been cultural challenges. Do you like to share a little about that? What have you learned from this, and what is an advice for others who are in similar situations?
Are you talking about like situations where they're like, you're married into a different culture and trying to make sure that their culture is still alive while your culture is still alive as well, and kind of meshing it together? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, right.
Well, one of
Because you
the
have to find the middle in between, or you have to, yes. How
yeah.
does this work?
You actually definitely have to find the compromise and the in-between. When my husband wasn't very religious when they were growing up. I mean, they had baptismals, they had this and that because he was raised in the Catholic Church. But there were a few things that I wanted to make sure that the girls knew about his culture that I myself diversed myself and ingressed myself into studying about it so that I knew enough that I could actually have conversations with the girls about this culture. And I ended up teaching all three of the girls when they were in, I think, first grade. I actually went into their classroom and taught their whole class about Las Posadas at Christmas time and about the legend of the poinsettia and how the poinsettia came about, because a lot of people think that the poinsettia or poinsettias are from the US, but they're actually from Mexico. They're a native species of Mexico and is brought over by a US senator, I believe. His name was Robert Poinsett, and that's why they named it poinsettia. But I always made sure that the girls knew about the special holidays, like the quinceañeras. That's when a girl turns 15. They had a choice of whether or not they wanted a sweet 16 party, which is US, we have sweet 16s. And in the Catholic or the Mexican traditions, they had quinceañeras when they turned 15. It's like showing that they're not babies anymore, that they're young adults, young women.
Right.
And so they got to choose that. They got to see how much was involved in planning it. They got to choose basically what they wanted to celebrate and what they didn't want to celebrate, because I didn't want to force anything on them, because I feel like when you force culture on somebody, that's when people already got their, especially if there's two different cultures clashing, that's when people get their backs up against the wall. But I was like, here are some of the greatest things about it. Like, I can recall my husband sitting in the kitchen at Christmas time, and there's a thing called buñuelos, and it's basically it's tortillas, and you just fry them in oil and then you cover them with cinnamon and sugar. But my girls absolutely loved that at Christmas
Probably.
time. Yeah,
Sounds
because
good.
they were in the kitchen with their dad, and they were, he was showing them how to do it. They would do this, the sugar and the cinnamon together, and they would dip and they would have the best time together. But we made sure that we brought some of the cultural things in. And like at Christmas, we traditionally have a Christmas dinner, but Christmas Eve now has become where my husband cooks sopes, which is like a it's hard to describe. It's like a corn bowl that you can actually eat, but it's like really like soft. It's so good, and it has carne asada and beans and all this cilantro and stuff and everything. And we always had that Christmas Eve now because we incorporated that into our celebration. So you just kind of have to pick and choose and decide what's best for you and not go by what anybody else says, because you know, it's hard, especially when you've got kids going all different places. And my girls are now 29, 26, and 22. So it was hard when they were growing up because they wanted to be with their friends, or they wanted this, or, you know, because the big age gap between the middle child and the youngest was huge when they were growing up. So we had to find things that would fit all three of them at one time.
Yes, right. That's another topic, how to get them together somehow. But I think it's interesting to say, okay, talking about those different cultures, have your kids grown up with two languages or more languages, or how did you handle this?
No, actually, because my husband was pretty fluent in English. They know enough to understand what he's saying to them in Spanish, but unfortunately they don't speak it, and they're so mad at him now. They're like, "Daddy, why didn't you teach us Spanish? Why didn't you teach us Spanish?" I mean, literally, they're so mad at them now. But they're like, they have to learn to reimmerse themselves into the language. But it's so funny, when they were kids and we would go to Mexico to visit his family, because his family still lives there, I would see my middle daughter and my goddaughter, which is also our niece. They would walk, they're the same age, and they would walk down the road, and neither one of, I mean, Lucy Lenny could barely speak any English, and Michaela could barely speak any Spanish, but yet they were communicating and having conversations. And I would just sit there and watch them, because they could read off of body language. They could read off of, you know, facial expressions and things like that, which is hard when you're communicating on the phone, but it's better when you're communicating in person. So they were able to pick up a little bit more Spanish at, when they were there, actually immersed in the culture.
Yes, I love this. Well, I can relate to this because my mother comes from Croatia, so, and me staying here in Germany, and these are also different cultures. And yes, I was mad at my mother too.
I mean, they were really, they're
Somebody
still
in
to
the
this
younger
day.
ages.
Still to this day, they're like, "Daddy, why did you not teach us Spanish?"
Totally, I love this. Now, being a super mom can bring a lot of good things out of us. You personally developed a strength to look at things differently. And so you decided to help other mothers with having a good lifestyle with their kids. What is this about? I know that you have told me some beautiful things.
Basically, I stayed home when my middle daughter was born. When she was born, I stayed home until the youngest one was able to go to preschool, and then I went back to work. But with that also came a pay cut. So I wanted to make sure, because I didn't want anybody else raising my kids. I had this strong conviction on me that, you know, before, when my oldest was born, my mom kept my daughter. So I was okay with my mom keeping my daughter. But I didn't want anybody else raising my kids. I didn't want to spend so much time, so tired from work, then have to come home and be with the girls and just be so stressed out. So I'm like, no, I'm going to, you know, stop working. My husband was full on board with this, and he's like, okay. He says, but you got to show me. And I was like, okay. So I started doing things like finding things out for free and frugal things that we could do with the kids, like go to story time at the local library. That was like, and we just packed the picnic, and there was a park right next door, so we would go and eat picnics and everything. And once I started doing that, I'm like, you know what? Other moms need to know this. They need to know that they can go out and have a good time without having to spend a fortune, without having, you don't have to go to McDonald's every time you go out. You can easily make a little picnic and let your kids get involved in picking out what you're going to put in the picnic, because they're going to get more excited once the more involvement that they get. Even if it's, "Hey, mom, can we have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?" "Sure, here you go, make them." You know, they get the enjoyment of looking down and saying, "Hey, I made this." And even to this day, we still do that when we're traveling and things. We still carry food so that we don't have to, plus you're not putting all that junk and all that, you know,
Right.
obviously, every
It's
once in a
even
while.
healthier.
Every once in a while, it's a great treat to have, but when you're eating it all the time, it just sits on your stomach and it's just like, ugh, I can't eat anymore. So I decided that I was going to start my blog, Adventures of Frugal Mom, and that, and showing the people that, you know, that you can do this, you can have fun and you can have a great life, but you don't have to worry about keeping up with the Joneses. Your kids will love you just as much because you're present in their life as opposed to what you gave them. And yeah, in the beginning, the girls were like, especially when they were teenagers, they kept looking at what their friends had. And
Yeah.
they're like, why don't we have this? Why don't we have this? And we're like, well, because I chose to stay home with you guys when you guys were younger. And we got this mentality. But they also said they learned the value of a dollar because of what they've learned from their dad and I.
That's
And that
wonderful.
they learned that they're able to, if they really want something, they got to work for it.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing I instilled. Like, if my daughter wanted a new laptop, I mean, we bought her one, but if hers broke and she wanted a new one because of something she carelessly did, she had to work for it. And my dad was huge on that. My dad would back her up. That's how they started mowing the grass for $20 a week, just so he would say, okay, I'll buy your laptop, but you're going to pay me back by mowing the grass. And then they just ended up getting money after that, after the laptop was paid off, which I'm sure probably they didn't pay for the whole laptop totally off. I'm sure they gave him a discount. But, you know,
Probably, yes.
they knew that that's what we wanted to instill in our girls. So they kind of walked hand in hand with us on that. Whereas I think with my sister's boys, they were like, okay, here you go. And they just handed them. And so my sister's boys learned that things were handed to you in life, and that's not how it is. And I always want to make sure that my girls know the skills. Like, my mom passed away last August, and I was like, okay, girls, I want you to go to the funeral home with us and learn how to plan a funeral, because it's going to happen one day and you're going to need to know how to do this. And even though you don't want to think about it and bury your head in the sand, I'm like, this is a life skill you're going to have to learn. You don't want to think about it, but there's things that go into play. And so they all three are now equipped to know kind of what to do. Of course, you've got the funeral directors and everything else that will get them going to help them guide them through, but they know what to expect. They know how to pick out a coffin. They know this, they know that, they know all this stuff. And because, like I said, their dad and I aren't getting any younger. And so they need to know at one point in time that they're going to be faced with that as well.
I love this. It's learning from life, not only from school, not only gathering information, but going into practice or learning from practice, from experiences. So I think this is beautiful and they are so well equipped now. And you know what? I think even going out for a picnic, if they are young children love those things, going outside and yes, being engaged with nature and being engaged and discovering nature and just going inside of another McDonald's or something might be boring one time. So, but nature is always exciting. I think this is wonderful. And even to prepare yourself for this, to make some food for it and to go there and to wrap everything out and to say, oh, we have got this and we have got that. So I think this is a wonderful job. And you can only do this if you're a, well, I wouldn't say you can only do this, but it's easier if you stay at home as a mother. So you take the time for this.
Yes, but you also can work it in if you're a working mom. You can make it so that even if you're not doing it, like if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're looking for ways to get out of the house, ways to get out and be around people, or just to get away from the same thing over and over again. But if you work away from the home, you can still plan that. You can still do it like, okay, this is one day a month. We're going to do a special picnic, and this is everybody's going to get involved. And it's also a way to incorporate education in there as well. Because, like, if you're making a recipe or a sandwich and you tell your, okay, read the directions for me, or tell me, or do your math. Okay, we got half a scoop here. Now we're going to put a half a scoop. How many scoops is that? You know, and things like that, that you can just kind of reiterate what they're learning in school as well. That's one of the things that I did. Like, when the girls are reading a book, if there was a movie about the book, they would finish the book. Then we would have a movie night. They would kind of help me plan. We would do a craft, and then we would do movie, and then they would plan a menu around that movie as well. So they were kind of digging deep into the book, and they were having so much fun with it that I even got fun. I mean, that's the teacher in me coming out, but I had so much fun with it that I just, you know, loved it. And they loved it as well. It's some of their fondest memories.
Wow, so beautiful ideas to really to think about things differently and to use those things that you have really to make a use of it. So I think that's wonderful. Now, going through challenging situations with your own mother, has also changed your perspective around guiding your own kids. So what is your number one advice for mothers? What do you perceive as the most important part of accompanying your children? What would you say?
You have to do things your own way. You have to do what feels right for you to do, not what everybody else tells you to do. Because you're going to find out if you're doing what everybody expects you to do or what everybody wants you to do, you're going to feel like crap, which is going to pass down to your kids, and you're not going to become your best self, and they're not going to become their best self. You mentioned my relationship with my mom. It was a very strained relationship. I almost felt like with my mom, there were strings to her love. Like it was like, I love you if you do this for me. If you don't do this for me, I'm going to love you less. And I realized later, I wish I had realized this a lot earlier when my girls were smaller, but like when they were teenagers, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I can't allow this, my relationship with my mom, to break down my relationship with my girls. So I chose to become the mom that they may not come to me with everything that's going on in their lives, but they know they can come to me with everything that's going on in their lives. And the biggest compliment I ever got from one of my girls was my oldest daughter. I was out visiting, she lives in California, and I was out visiting her, and she says, I don't think of you as my mom. And I got like, I was like, she could see the shocked look on my face. She says, hold on, mama, hold on, let me finish. She says, I think of you as my friend who happens to be my mom. And so that is the thing. You can be friends with, especially your adult kids, because at that point they don't need you, but you could still kind of be friends with your kids as well. But you still have to show them, hey, there are rules, there are things that you have to do, but no, let them know, regardless of whatever they're going through, whether they screwed up, whether they did anything, that you will love them unconditionally. It doesn't, your love doesn't require them to jump through hoops or them to do things for you to love them. And I'm sure my mom loved me, but the way she showed it, I think it's a part of the way she was brought up. So I chose to break that generational curse so that when my girls start having kids, they're going to make mistakes just like I make mistakes. But hopefully their kids will learn from their mistakes, and then they'll just keep going further on down the line. I remember back in August, I was talking to my middle daughter, who sometimes we butt heads because we're so much alike. And she was telling me something that happened in her childhood, and I could not remember it happening. I don't recall it. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't remember this happening, but obviously she did. So I texted the oldest daughter, do you remember this? And she's like, yeah, but it wasn't a big of a deal as it happened. And I'm like, okay, well, it was a big deal to Michaela. So I told her, I was like, you know what? I'm sorry if this happened to you. I don't recall it happening, but if it did, I'm sorry. I didn't say if it did. I don't recall it happening, but I'm sorry. I forget the exact words I'd said, but it's like, I'm sorry and that you remember it this way. And that I validated her feelings, basically. And that's the only thing that I really wanted from my mom, was validation that what I was feeling was valid, you know, because people can look at situations and experiences totally different. I mean, just like when you're talking about an eyewitness in a car accident, you can have five eyewitnesses and they can say five different things. So everybody perceives things differently. So I wanted to make sure she knew that I was sorry, even though I didn't recall it, but that her feelings are very valid, and that, you know, she had a right to feel the way she was, whereas my mom would have told me that I was crazy and I needed to stop thinking that way, and just would have just blown up and got mad if I had put any fault or anything on it. So that flipped the switch, I think, when I turned about 50. So it's like 6-7 years ago when I started flipping that switch and saying, I've got to take responsibility, even though I don't remember it happening. I have to take some responsibility in some of the things and say, hey, look, this happened. I'm going to take part of the blame. I'm not taking all the blame, but you have to, the more you take the blame and be vulnerable and say, I'm sorry, the better the relationships are, honestly.
Yes, I can totally agree, because if you can break this cycle, because we can, yes, we are used to do how we are raised up. And so firstly, we have to become aware of what really happened to us and what we are giving now. And to break through a cycle, this really means that you became aware of, hey, what happened here to me and what am I doing to my kids? So in this middle position, you are able to switch, to pivot this. Yes,
thank
this
you.
growing,
mindset,
this education. Yeah. And that's wonderful. So how do you, you said that you have got sisters. How do they handle the situation? Are they also breaking the cycle or are they aware of it?
I had two sisters that passed. One passed when I was pregnant with my oldest daughter. She was my best friend. She's been gone 29 years. But she understood. She understood that. And we always said, and I understand a lot of it too with my mom. My mom and dad had two sets of kids. That's what I said, because my dad was in the Marine Corps. So he was gone a lot when my two older sisters were born. So my mom bonded with them. She had one-on-one time with them. Whereas my sister Karen, when her and I were born, my dad was toward the end of his military career. So he was retiring and he was staying home with us more. And so we bonded with my dad. And so my sister Karen and I would have conversations about how we felt like we were treated differently by mom. And when you're a kid, you don't get it. But when you're an adult, you get a little bit more, because you're like, okay, I understand it. It still hurts me, but I get it. I understand. I mean, I get it. But the other two did not have, I mean, they had a great relationship with my mom. I mean, even the sister that's still alive, it's my next, the oldest sister and myself, I'm the youngest. She had the great relationship with my mom. And she would, like, every time now when she's like having a conversation with me, she will like do like my mom does. And I'm like, no, can't do it. Backing away. And you got to set boundaries, because that's important, is you've got to set boundaries to how people are going to treat you. Because if you don't, they'll walk all over you. And it's hard when it's someone you love, but you have to set those boundaries and say, okay, I'm taking part of the blame, but I'm not taking all the blame. And until you realize your part in this, sorry, can't do it.
Yeah, that's great. I love this. So yes, it's wonderful that you, your challenges actually brought you the strength and brought you another perception about those things, and perhaps also the creativity, how to make things different and how to use, yes, your tools differently that you have as a mother and as your, with your environment, actually, because lifestyle has to do with your environment too. So I think it's, you took the best of it. Don't you think so?
Yeah, honestly, I do, because I learned a couple of things from my parents. One, I love my dad. My dad was my hero. He was, I think that part of the two reason, another reason why, is my mom was kind of jealous because of a relationship I had with my dad. But I learned from my mom and dad how to have a strong marriage, because at my time of my dad's death, they would have been married 55 years.
Wow.
And I learned early on from them that you don't allow family members, you don't allow anybody else to get in between you and your spouse. You have to create your own little cocoon, like, and there was a lot of times where they thought, oh, well, they're just being standoffish. No, it's because during those times that maybe we were having a little bit of problems, I wasn't allowing other people in, because, you know, when you got other people talking in your ear, then you may end up doing something that you're either going to regret, or end up saying, okay, I want a divorce, or I want, this marriage is over, I don't love you anymore, when in fact you realize it's the biggest mistake ever. And so that was one of the things I learned from them. And luckily, you know, knocking on wood, my husband and I are going on 30 years together. And so I learned that early on from my parents, though, not to allow other people into your marriage and not allow other people to get into that core value, that core system, you know, your core family. And the next thing I learned was, I learned from my mom, is the mom I didn't want to be. I mean, I saw her with my sisters and I saw her the way she treated me. And I'm like, you know, I don't like that. I don't like the separation. I want my girls to be close. I want my girls to be, you know, and yeah, they're young adults and two of them are in a fight right now, but I'm just like, whatever. But I want them to be close. I want them to realize that they have each other's backs. Whereas I know right now, if I called the sister that's still alive, she wouldn't be here for me. she would expect us to be there for her, but she wouldn't be there for us. And so at this point, I just want them to realize how important family is. And that's what you have to do in the very beginning, even when you first start out, you know, getting married and deciding how you want your family, is you've got to realize, to kind of take stock at what's important to you, and just kind of write it down if you have to. And every once in a while, go back and look at it and say, you know what, that's not important anymore. Cross that out. Let's reevaluate. Because because when you're in the thick of things and you're raising kids and they're all demanding your attention and you're a mom and you're stressed out and your husband's coming home wanting to know, that's the worst question a mom could ever get asked, is what's for dinner? Because I know they get asked that 50 million trillion times a day. You know, when you're stressed out like that, look at those goals and say, you know what, it's not important for me to have a spotless house right now. Mm-hmm. It's not important that I have dinner on the table at 5 o'clock every day. Mm-hmm. It's not important that I have a home cooked meal every day. No, every once in a while, it could be like a quick and easy meal. I have a lot of quick and easy meals right now in my freezer where I can just pull out and just pop them in the microwave or just reheat them or something. Because you have to learn what's going to be good and what's not going to be good for your own family. And with me, I knew that if I sat down and actually meal planned and did things like that, that it was easier for me when it came time to what's for dinner tonight.
Absolutely.
Or if mom's sick, like if I'm sick and I really don't feel like cooking, at least there's something up there they could pull out and they can cook themselves.
That's so easy. Yes, I love this. Wow, that's wonderful. I love this when you say, okay, what's important for your family, and reject the outside really, so that nothing can come between, and make up your mind how you want to live really. If this is something that you really enjoy, or if this something is brought from the outside, a picture how it should be, everything, and then let go. So if it doesn't suit to you and your family and your how you like to live, you don't have to do this. You can make your decision around this. That's wonderful.
That is so true, because you can choose. Society always tells us what we should and shouldn't do, but you can choose what you should and shouldn't do in your own family. I mean, obviously, our family is very multicultural. I didn't tell you, but my oldest daughter is married, and her husband is 3/4 Japanese. So we're gonna have a total mix of family. Once they have kids, and their kids start having kids, we're gonna be like totally like mixed, and you won't even know what race we are at this point. But that growing up, the family that I have now was not a family that I envisioned, because growing up, it was in the 70s and 80s, and the races didn't mix. You know, you didn't marry outside. And so now, seeing that and seeing how open my girls are to other people and their friendships, and I mean, even their friends call me Mama Vera now, because I just love their friends, and I love who they've embraced, and they have picked and choose the people that they know that's going to reflect their values as well. Mm-hmm. And there have been people that come in their lives that they're like, they're in their lives for a certain season, but they're like, no, kick you to the curb. You're not where I need to be right now, and you're only bringing me down. And I've learned that even as an adult, when you're so hungry for friends as a stay-at-home mom or work-from-home mom, you're hungry for friends, and you're just like, okay, let any friend, anybody says hi to me. Oh, somebody said hi to me in the grocery store. Oh, let's go find a coffee date. You know, because you're so starved for that adult conversation when you're a mom and you're in the thick of things, that you're going to learn that you need to create a tribe. And I have a tribe of moms of different ages. Some are in the thick of it, like they still have newborns, and some have middle school students. Some have their kids already in college. Some are empty nesters. But it's important to have a tribe of all different people that are there to support you regardless of what you're going through, because that's your greatest sounding board. Because there may be something that you say, like I can say something to my husband and he'll look at me and he'll go, yeah, so what? And I'm like, you don't realize how upsetting that is to me. And he's like he doesn't get it. But I can talk to my girlfriends about it and say, hey, look at this. And they're like, I can't believe she did that. Or I can't believe that happened, you know, and just kind of, because male thinking is different than female thinking, but you also get perspectives too, as well.
Female talk. Yeah, that's great. So, okay. Now you told me about a wonderful physical situation that you have been through and actually break a mental barrier too with this. I find this very interesting because physically you did something and mentally followed in this part. Would you say this? Would you like to share?
Yes. It's so funny because, and this is a great segue because I just talked about having your tribe with you and people that are going to encourage you, because I would not have done this if I had not had one of my really good friends with me. When I turned 50, I ziplined, and zipline is when you jump and you're into a harness and you jump off a tree and you go flying down into the next tree, hopefully being able to break. But luckily my zipline was not, I didn't have to break because it was automatic. But I am definitely afraid of heights. Deathly afraid of heights. I get me up on a tall building, I'm not looking over. I hate heights. I will not get on the roller coaster. I will not. I did get on a roller coaster once, but I said never again. I never want to live with regrets, but I'm not getting on one again. But I was like sitting there, and I had the opportunity through my blog to go ziplining to kind of go check out this adventure park. And I'm like, well, I'm going to bring a friend with me because, you know, you bring a friend, you can have a good time. Even if I couldn't do it, I figured I'd still have a good time. And I didn't tell anybody but my immediate family about what I was going to do, because whenever I would tell somebody that was the outer edge, the outer circle of the family, they would always put a negative thought in my brain, and I would, that fear would start rolling in, and I'd end up chickening out. So I didn't tell anybody. I took my really good friend Sherry with me, and we went up, and she had gone ziplining before, and so she was like, okay, you can do it. So we're up there, we're on the platform, and I made the mistake of looking down. Ooh. And I see, oh my gosh, this is a huge, I'm like, we're 50, 60 feet off the ground. I mean, in trees. And I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm shaking. My whole legs are just shaking. My legs are like rubber. I just can't do this. And she looked at me and said, yes, you can. You can do this. She said, just close your eyes and just jump. And it took all the courage I could take. I summoned it up. I have deep faith. I prayed to God, God, if you're going to take me quick. Don't, you know, take me before I land on the ground. Don't let me get hurt. I mean, you know, just if this is the way I'm going to die, take me quick and don't let me feel any pain. That's what I prayed. And I was like, you have me. I totally get it. And I looked back at her and she's like, you can do it. So I closed my eyes and grabbed onto the little thing, the harness you hold on to, and just jumped and just went. Flew all, not flew, but kind of glided all the way down to the next tree. Now, when you're ziplining, you always have a guide that goes with you to kind of help you get from one section to the next and kind of show you how to do the ropes. At least when I went that time. And the guide that was down there literally had to hold me up because my legs were so rubber that I couldn't even stand up at that point once I got on that platform from ziplining. I was like, but I did it. I continued on through the rest of the course. We're talking 13, maybe 14 zip lines, all different sizes. We had to walk some. We had to
again and again and again.
And I do have a video that I posted talking about how that was one of my first. I will not do it again, but at least I can say I've done this. I've conquered my fear. Now it's on to the next thing. And that's the whole thing about it now is, even though I couldn't do some of the things with my girls when they were little, I can do things now that with them that I couldn't before. So like if they wanted to go ziplining, I would say, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to watch you this time. But I know what it's like and I can see how what you're going to be doing and everything, like hiking, things like that. Anything out in nature, I always do with them now. You know, like when we went to visit my daughter in California, we walked downtown LA. We walked like 5 miles and she kept turning around and, okay, mama, I was like, I just need a break. Let me rest my back and I'll get back up. Mm-hmm. But I learned that I can do the hard things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't think you can,
mm-hmm.
but I can do the hard things. And so the only thing at the end of that course was there was a great big tower and you could either take the stairs down the tower or you could bungee jump off the tower. And I said, I'm done. I'm not bungee jumping. It's not happening. The stairs and I are going to meet each other. But I was proud of myself. I was like, I've done enough. facing my fears for the day, but I'm not jumping off that tower to jump straight down. Nope,
Well,
sorry.
yes.
So, but yeah.
Well, so you can be so proud of yourself that you really did it and that you faced your fears. I know that there are not so many people who are so filled with courage that they are saying, yes, face the fear, I do it. And then, yes, and the strength that you got from this really, that helps you in your life now, because realizing if I can do this, I can do more, or I can do those hard things like you told. It's wonderful, I think. What a growth. I love this.
And you
Yes.
know, it's like I don't ever want to look back at my life. Like I look back at the first, I say 30, 40 years of my life with a lot of regret, and I don't want to go back at the end of my life and look and say, wow, I should have done this, or I should have did this, or I should have did that. No, now it's like, okay, do I really want to do this? If I do, how am I going to get to where I'm going to, how do I get to where it's at? I always dreamed of taking a cross-country road trip, and I told my husband, I'm like, for our wedding anniversary, let's just go visit our daughter in California. And so we did. In April, we went cross-country. We drove my car and drove all the way and got to see some of those sites, some of the parts of the United States I had never seen before, because I'm in North Carolina. We're on the East Coast. She's on the West Coast. And then on
Wow.
the way back, we were able to drive a different route to see a different part of the United States.
Oh.
So it was so much
How many
fun.
miles are these from the east to the west?
From where we live to where her apartment is, it's like 2,300 miles, around 2,300 miles.
That's a lot, yes.
Yes, it took us 3 days to get there. We left Wednesday morning really early and got there Friday night.
Wow.
But I also incorporated some of the things that we talked about. Like I packed food for us to eat on the side of the road so we could do like a stop at a rest area and eat and stretch our legs. We had one good meal during the day, and that was when we got the hotel at night. That's when we went to a restaurant and ate. But most of the time, it was like I packed snacks, things with high in protein, drank a lot of water, made sure we were hydrated because that was important, just things like that.
Wonderful. I love this. Okay, so what is your current offer for others? I would like to tell you a little about this. What do you offer?
What do I offer? Oh my gosh. I offer number one, you go on my blog, I offer lots of tips, lots of advice on a whole different things. It first started out as a deals and coupons blog, but it slowly evolved into a lifestyle where now it's got more like, I always want to say it's more like a magazine read almost now, because I've got all these different topics on. It's not just about family, it's not just about what the house is, other things like adventures you can take and things like that. So it's all that. I also have a podcast, Chats from the Blog Cabin. I talked earlier, but I didn't say that I felt like when I was younger, my voice was never heard. So I created this space for people to come on and tell their stories so their voices can be heard. I've learned so much. I may not always agree with what every guest says, but there's always one little piece that I can glean from that I can say, wow, I've learned this, and this has made me such a better person. And by listening to them tell their stories and realize that they're not alone and people are there for them. And I want to be there for them because there was nobody really listening to me when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So,
Yes, that's wonderful. So you give what you didn't get, actually.
yep.
That's wonderful. I love this. How's your podcast called?
It's called Chats from the Blog Cabin. And the reason why it's called Chats from the Blog Cabin is I'm actually talking to you inside the log cabin. This is a she shed that I bought with money from blogging, and I tricked it out. Might as well say tricked it out. I came up with the design for it, and my husband did all the sweat equity, but I paid for all the materials inside. And when before we put the walls up and put the insulation in the walls up, I had friends of mine either send me letters or stop by and write in the walls positive messages. And one of my friends, Ashley, who I absolutely adore, wrote on had stopped by on her way back from Washington, D.C., because she lived in on the coast of North Carolina. She stopped by and said, "I want to write on your wall. I was going to send you something, but I want to make it a personal one." And she wrote, "Have fun in your log cabin," which kind of stuck. Log cabin stuck. And then COVID hit, and I decided, you know what? I miss talking to people all the time. I miss going to events. So I'm going to start something different. And was in with a mindset coach who challenged us to go live on any social media or anything. And at that point, I wasn't comfortable talking. Like, I would not have been able at that point to do interviews like this with you because I was not comfortable. And get me in front of a group of kids all day long, I could talk, but in front of my peers or adults, there was no way I would have the face-to-face conversation. So I went live, but I said, I'm going to go live with a friend, which we're talking about tribes and people that encourage you. And so I had one of my good friends, Lucy, come on, and we talked about the value of friendship and how you can encourage friends during COVID, because friendship is one of my core values, like relationships are my core values. And so that bit, and I was like, I really like doing that. Let's do another one. Let's do another one. Let's do another one. And before it started, I had people reaching out from all over. I had like some of the, I don't know if you know in Germany, you have Real Housewives. I had some of the Real Housewives of Orange County, Dallas, I think it was, and there's one I still want to get on, but it's like that's my dream, and I'm not putting it out there yet because I'm not ready for it yet. But that's another
Okay.
dream I have for a while. But I've had this people, I've had the people that have started nonprofits because of things that they've seen in their own lives, and just some amazing guests that I still keep in contact with now. Matter of fact, one of the guests was actually, after she came on my show, she was writing in another book and asked me to be a part of it. And so I'm so excited that her book is going to be coming out next year, where she traveled all 50 states and met a woman in each state that she either had very, very little contact with or had met through business and not really didn't have a personal relationship. And she actually sat down and had dinner with them and learned from them, and we had conversations, and I cannot wait for that book to come out.
Wow, that's wonderful. Yes. How is your blog called?
My blog is called Adventures of Frugal Mom.
And
It like I said, it started out as a deals and coupons blog. And funny that you said super mom a little while ago, because originally my idea was a mom that can juggle it all. And Adventures of Frugal Mom, you think of Adventures of Wonder Dog or whatever, you know, the adventures of. So that's how it came about. In my mind, I had this woman that was wearing a cape, and she was like juggling, like had a baby bottle in a hand and a phone in the other. And you
Yeah.
know, that was my vision when it first started. But now it's evolved into so much more. And there's so many times where I think, well, maybe I need to rebrand, but I'm like, no, I've built this brand up right now. I cannot rebrand anymore.
Okay. So where can people reach out to you? On your blog, is there a contact? Or if they want to learn more on your podcast, can they get in contact with you? What's your contact?
They can best way to reach me, honestly, is go and follow me on Instagram at Frugal
Ah,
Mom, because
okay.
if you follow me, then you will actually be able to message me, and I'll be able to get those messages a lot quicker, because I can my email is like so bogged down right now that I'm like, I would say email me, but no. It's so
Okay.
bogged down. But if you go and type in adventuresfrugalmom.com, there is a contact form. You can also subscribe to the newsletter. There's a subscribe thing up on top. You can subscribe and you'll get the newsletter whenever I send it. And sometimes that's hard to try to get around to do that. But yeah. And then chats in the blog cabin, just listen to it anywhere you listen to podcasts, and you'll be able to message me that way as well.
Wonderful. I love this. So thank you so much for being here with me on this show. And I love to, yes, get to know you and your topic around lifestyle, motherhood, and everything, and perceiving those situations in a from a different angle. And I think this is wonderful that you shared this with us. So I'm so grateful to have you here on my show. Thank you very much, Melissa.
All right.
And
Thank you for
yes.
having me on. And any encouragement to any moms that are listening, you're doing a good job. Regardless, you may feel like you're not, but you're doing a good job. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I totally agree, and I just can emphasize, right? Thank you so much, and wonderful to have you here. Thank you for listening to this podcast, Renew Motherhood, and please follow me and this podcast and listen to the next episodes. Thank you.